It's Radio Free 501c, the podcast of Rogue Tulips Consulting. I'm your host, Cecilia Sopp, and we're so excited to be back for Season 6 and continue bringing you outstanding ideas and thought leaders and different ways of thinking. So don't forget to subscribe because you're not going to want to miss any of it. This week, I welcome first-time guest Kristen Truong. It's her first time ever being on a podcast, and she picked us. We're here to talk about the art of saying yes, practice your passion. It's April 29th, 2024. Welcome to episode 238. Hey, everybody, it's Monday, April 29th. That means it's time for another episode of Radio Free 501c, brought to you by Rogue Tulips Consulting. I'm your host, Cecilia Sepp. I'm the principal and founder of Rogue Tulips, and thank you for joining us. And to the global audience, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be. And once again, thanks to everyone for tuning in for this important and exciting episode. Why is it important and exciting? It's important because we're kicking off the month of May, which is Asian American Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander Month, or AANHPI Month. And what that month does is recognize people from that group, Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders who are part of our community and a big part of the history of the country, the United States. So we're very pleased to dedicate the entire month of May, including this April 29th episode, to AANHPI Month. And I'm really excited to have Kristen Truong here. She's a first-time guest, and it's her first time being on a podcast. So our topic today is the art of saying yes, and Kristen has a lot of wisdom and advice to share from her own experience. But before we jump into the topic, Kristen, welcome to the show. So glad you're here. Could you please introduce yourself to the audience and tell us a little about yourself?
Of course, and thank you very much for having me on the podcast today. So I'm, as you said, Kristen Truong. I'm the Vice President of Public Affairs, the Association of Schools Advancing Health Professions. Also long, we go by ASAP, makes it a little bit quicker. And we're a very small staff association. There's only three of us that work full time. So when you're in a small staff, one of the fun things is you kind of get your hands in everything. And I oversee everything from communications, marketing, website, conferences, strategic plan implementation, board relations. I'm trying to think what else is there in an association that I haven't mentioned yet.
Well, you know, the small staff gets to be, like you said, their fingers in everything. They get to try a little bit of all of it. It's almost like going to a buffet at work. So that's really kind of fun. And I think, I think the more challenging the work is and the more diverse and mixed it is, the more fun it is and the more you get to learn.
I agree with that. And I think that really plays a lot into, you know, today's topic of the art of saying yes. In a small staff, in a way, you know, you kind of have to say yes to everything because you know that you want to get this work done for your members. Mm-hmm. But it's also really taught me that even if I'm not an expert in something, there's an opportunity to learn. And I think that's really what an art is. Growing up, I learned piano, played for years and years. And I can only imagine my parents in the house when I was just starting to learn piano, what that must sound like. Because to me, I'm really concentrated on, okay, I'm learning this. And they're probably thinking, wow, those notes don't sound very good together. But it takes practice. And I think with saying yes and figuring out what you want to do, that also takes practice. And that's why it's an art. It takes time to learn. And I would even dare say, I don't even know if you can perfect it. I mean, things in life change so rapidly. I think the last few years have really shown that you just don't really know what's around the corner. And it's not saying I'm going to be perfect at something, but what are these different skills that I'm learning along the way that I can pull together and be able to apply to different situations that I'm in or that are brought to me?
Well, and I
Right.
really like your approach to the art of anything. So there's the art of medicine, there's the art of art, like you've mentioned, music and painting. Picasso had to learn how to paint before he could deconstruct art. So I think that's a wonderful approach. And I also used to play the piano when I was growing up and had to give it up when I went to college for a lot of different reasons, but I also played a lot of sports growing up, and one of the things we spent most of our time doing was practicing so that we would be better at whatever that sport was. So, how has the art of saying yes really propelled your career? Now, you've already mentioned that you're at a small staff group right now, so you get to do a little bit of everything, which, is a lot of fun. But how does the art of saying yes propel you forward?
So I think one piece that really started for me was learning to not be scared
Ooh.
anymore. I think there's been a lot of times where I doubt ability in myself when I'm like, am I really qualified to do that? Can I say yes to that? Even though someone might be saying, do you want to do this or do you want to get involved? And once I kind of got over that first hump, I realized I want to say yes to as much as I can because I have been scared before. And now I feel like there's so many opportunities that I can try and learn where do I really want to hone in on. I mean, just myself and a lot of the volunteer work that I do locally and around my home community is I've learned I really enjoy working with kids. And so, because I said yes to so many different kinds of volunteer opportunities, I was able to then narrow down saying, yes, there are a lot of different areas that need help, but where is my passion lie? Where do I feel like I'm able to help others without draining my cup? Where can I still feel full with what I'm doing? And so, that's kind of more on the local piece. Professionally, I've said yes. So, for example, ASAE, very large in the association community, and I had no idea what it was a few years ago. And the president of my association told our executive director, you guys have to join this. You know, all of the associations everyone's doing, and we're like, okay, you know, it's a president. Of course, we're going to join. And it was the Gold Circle Awards that were happening, and they were looking for judges. So I was like, oh, I'll try that. Why not? They accepted. I don't know how competitive it is. I know there are so many different awards, but you know, back then I'm like, wow, like I don't even know that much about this organization. And now I'm a judge. I don't know if I should have shared that, but I'm saying it anyways. And And then it just kind of made me think, you know, let me keep trying. Let me keep seeing what else is out there. That brought me to the Young Professionals Committee, which I've been a member of for 3 years so far. And that brought me to sitting at a table with the Young Professionals Committee, Michelle Mason at ASAE. And I remember I raised my hand and I said to Michelle, I don't see people who look like me in leadership in associations. And looking back, I was like, oh my goodness, did I just say that to the CEO of ASAE? But there was something in me from that piece I was saying of not being scared anymore. And she connected me to Don Dee and Wendy Jo Toyama. And they brought me into the back then it was the AAPI task force. Now we're renamed to the AANHPI task force to really look at what's going on in the association industry. Why are there not as many Asian Americans that are in it? And how do people find associations? So I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, I think
I
you
kind
did.
of went over a few different areas.
No, you never know where we're going to go on this podcast, which is, a lot of the fun of it. And I think that was really a great example First of all, I don't think anybody should ever feel hesitant to speak to the CEO of the association that they belong to, because whoever that person is, whatever that group is, they work for us. We don't work for them. And while they may be a person we really respect and look up to, we still should not feel that we can't say something, that we can't talk to them. So a plus to you, Kristen, for saying, hey, I can say something. Because it needs to be said. And I think a lot of people, they have a fear factor of speaking up. And I'll just put it out there. I think a lot of women feel uncomfortable speaking up for a lot of reasons. But getting over that fear factor, no matter who you are, and just saying, hey, like you said, I don't see a lot of people that look like me. And then you found out, well, there's a group of people working on that. And I think that's great. I think there's not enough people who know what nonprofit management is or what it does, and therefore it does not become a career path for a lot of people because they don't realize it's a real job, unfortunately. I hate to say that, having two certifications, but it's true. Anyone who's been at Thanksgiving dinner and their family's like, so what is he doing? I think we all still have that issue a little bit. But the Nonprofit Alliance, which is headed up by Shannon McCracken, they actually have an internship program so people can learn about nonprofit management. So to your point, Kristen, that might be a great thing to do. And then that gets, the opportunity gets shown to a lot of different people.
And I was just thinking about that this week, about the career paths in nonprofit management or even in the association industry. And when I was thinking about today and the art of saying yes, I feel like a lot of the younger generations, there's Gen Z, there's the millennials, a lot of, and this is just anecdotally, I don't have any actual like hard data that I'm sharing, but a lot of them are fueled by passion. They want to be able to work in a place where they feel like they relate to the values that that company or organization has. And associations and nonprofit management fit that so closely. And I hadn't thought very much about that when I was, looking for a job or what thinking about what I was going to do in higher education. And I wish that was explained more, that so many people say they fall into
Yeah.
it. But I wonder how much do you, I mean, okay, I do think some people probably do fall into it, but how much of it is almost like a magnet that you can't see of, I'm so passionate about something that I'm working on. Well, here's an association that actually happens to fit that. So you are still able to do the work that you as a person want to do while also supporting this larger organization that I think is misunderstood in that they do run like a business. I mean, nonprofits are not, you have your profit, your losses, you have to make sure that it's financially sound. And in that way, I mean, accounting only works one way. There's not really many ways that you can do
That's right.
that. But, it works like a business. I'm not coming into work, and I mean, I haven't worked in a corporate space before, but I can't imagine that it's much different in just how it operates. I mean, the one big difference, I think, is the passion that people have going into it, wanting to make a difference. But then also, I feel like the members are so inspiring. The ones that are taking time to volunteer, who are giving up extra time out of their day after hours from the job that they're doing, and they're wanting to contribute. I mean, to me, that excites me, seeing how much people want to give back to the association.
I agree with you. That's always what made me excited about going to work. When I was on staff at associations, I've worked at a few in my time. And I always preferred working with the professional societies because that's the individual membership. And those people are there because they want to be there. And you're working with people, an individual who has chosen to volunteer or chosen to donate or chosen to be in a leadership position of some kind, because there's different kinds of volunteering. So, you could just volunteer to help at the local conference, or you could volunteer to be on the board of directors. So you see these people that really they want to give back to their profession, and by helping their professional association be stronger, they actually make the world a better place. And I think that is really something we overlook in what we do for a living. And people that come into it without really understanding, well, this actually is a business management specialty. And so it really, to your point, Kristen, you're right on. It is a business and it's business model, but it's a different kind of business. And we have a higher purpose because yes, we need to have money, or we can't pay people to work, or we can't pay for things we need. We can't give money away in scholarships. We can't do a lot of things without that. But we have a higher purpose and a higher calling. And so to say yes to nonprofit management is really making a commitment to the society in which we live and the world around us. Because a lot of countries look to the United States now as an example for nonprofits, because other countries are trying to do that now too. It started out a uniquely American thing in North America, and now people in other countries are like, oh, well, I want to like help animals, or I want to help, the elderly or whoever it is that needs help, and here's a way to do it. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but I think about this a lot because I write about it, I talk about it, and I teach CAE classes, so.
And just adding another, I guess, layer onto what you had mentioned is the networking when you were volunteering with the group of people who are really passionate about what they're doing. I mean, I will never say I'm the best person at networking. I mean, going into networking events, here's another saying yes to things, and then I realized not my thing, which is totally fine. I used to go to a lot of them, and it just didn't fit well with me. And I kept thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to excel professionally if I can't go into a room of strangers and just go up and talk to people? I will say through practice, again, I've gotten a lot better at it. I also think that throughout my lifetime, a series of just like rejections in a sense had made me realize, oh, it's really not that bad. If I go up to someone and they don't want to talk to me, there's probably someone else here who's like, oh, I feel so awkward. And if I just find that person and then we can connect, it's great. But I think volunteering has really helped me build my network. And I think for me, just having a common purpose in what I'm doing or doing with other people, I don't know, there's something about it that just lays that groundwork already and makes it just a little bit easier. So I think that's one thing with, associations and nonprofits that I think is really unique, that you have that baseline there already that you can relate to.
Yes, I agree. And I'm just kind of laughing because your description of your networking experience is very similar to my own. So I am not, people, it's funny, people say, oh, Cecilia, you know everybody. And I always say, no, I don't. Barbara Armantrout knows everybody. And then Barbara will always say, no, between the two of us, we know everybody. But she's wonderful at networking. She's very good at staying in touch with people and reaching out to them. And just and I have no problem talking to people I don't know, but like you, sometimes people don't want to talk to me. So it's like, what am I going to do about that? Go find someone else to talk to. But it's seriously, it's some of these events, because when you're the new person volunteer, and this was my very early ASA experience, I was new. Nobody knew me. I didn't know anybody. It's very hard to kind of get your foot in the door. And then I, like you, became a volunteer. I was a very active volunteer for a number of years, met a lot of people and did a lot of different things. I had a lot of fun doing it. And then I realized, well, I could help other people get their foot in the door, so to speak. And so that was really one of the things I committed to, was helping other people find that door inside, you know, to be part of things, to meet people, to understand how it all works. And so I'm the person now who will go up to somebody standing by themselves at a reception and say, "Would you like to be alone or would you like to meet some people?" So far, I've never had anybody say, "I want to be alone." They've always said, "Yeah, I'd love to meet some people." And so, "Well, come with me." I introduce them to a group of people. And one time I did that, and the person that I introduced to the group ended up going off to dinner with them. And I'm like, that's great, because that's, you know, that's what we want. We want to volunteer and connect with people. And because that those people say yes to, yes, I do want to meet people, then they, you know, expand their own network and they go out to dinner and, you know, have good conversations and have fun. You know, I try to say yes as much as I can to different things, but you know, you really do have to, and that's where that's really a question I need to ask you, Kristen, because you and I, when we were talking, getting ready for the episode, we talked about how you say yes to a lot of things. You have a lot going on. So how do you balance that? Because I'm like you, I like to say yes, but then there's that point where you can't say yes too many times. So how do you balance all that out?
So I've really tried looking at what my priorities in life are, and then I kind of make my decisions based on that. But then I also look for, I love opportunities that I also know have an end date. So for example, this past year I was part of a gala committee, and I knew, okay, it's going to start this month, it's going to end this month. So that's just only a portion of my time of the year. And that'll really open me up to be able to then take on another role after that. I will say that in me saying yes to so much and figuring out what fits with me and what doesn't, I have had to say no. Or I've had to one of the big things for me is being honest. So there is actually an organization that I was so excited to get involved in. I mean, I had been thinking about it for years and I finally was. And I think they saw my enthusiasm and they're like, okay, we're going to, really get her to help with a lot. And so me saying yes, I was like, yes. And I realized that, maybe this organization wasn't 100% of what I thought it was going to be. And I found myself starting to not feel as engaged, not feeling as excited as I thought I would be. And it took, probably about a week of me really thinking, is this something I want to continue? Or is it something that I need to be honest with myself? So I hate disappointing people. I don't like it. That's just who I am as a person. And, I've over the past year or so, I've really done a lot of work to figure out who I am as a person. But going back to the story, and I ended up having to reach out to the organization and just say, and be honest, this isn't the right fit for me. But I'm not leaving you high and dry. I want to help you transition. I want to help you find this next person. I'm not just completely, dropping off the face of the earth. But it's not right in my mind to say you're going to do something for an organization, not be able to actually fulfill the obligations that you said you're going to, and then have those, I guess, ripple effects afterwards of somebody who might come into it. If I'm already gone at that point, they may not have that point person to talk to. They have all of this to catch up. They have to learn. To me, that's not right. And I've learned people like it when you're honest. I mean, they appreciate it, even if it's not necessarily the best case scenario, but they'd rather have that than someone just become a ghost and then you just don't see them anymore. So it's hard. I don't ever like having to pull away from something, but I talked earlier about how important it was for me to fill my cup. Because if my cup's not full, I can't help anybody else. That was a hard lesson to learn too.
Yeah, it, You know, I'm glad you put it that way because that's how I think about it. Because I think we all get to those points in life between all of our professional activities, all of our personal activities, we feel a little bit like we're running on empty. And it's hard to find that again. Like, how do I get excited again? You know, do I binge watch a Netflix series or do I like go sit out in the yard for a while or work out what do I do to fill myself back up? And so I'm with you on that. If your volunteering is not filling you up, then it's probably not something you should keep doing. But I also agree with you, if it's not a right fit, that you should say something. And for all the volunteers listening out there, if you're currently in a volunteer position that's not a good fit for you, have that conversation. It's not a bad idea. It's okay to say that that's not right for you or you're not the right person for that job. So let's keep that in mind. And before
Could I say
we,
something real quick?
oh,
Actually,
sure.
if that's a, I just wanted to add on to that is that because I also work for an association and we have a bunch of volunteers, I can almost guarantee you that the staff member that is interacting with you probably knows already. And they are just waiting to kind of be like, how can I help usher this? Or maybe something in their life happened, in the volunteer's life happened. They might need to take a step back for a month or so. But I do think staff, we have that higher level view. We sometimes have that 30,000 foot view, knowing which puzzle pieces need to go where in an organization to make it all flow. And when something kind of goes out of place, I mean, it does take a little bit more time to figure out, okay, what's going on. And it's that perspective of that staff member of wanting to be like, oh, I wish this person would just tell me what's going on. Because there have been situations where people have kind of petered off and then they ended up quitting. And it's like, I wish that they would have talked to me about that beforehand. So I was like, that's the staff member of me being like, I don't want to do that ever to anybody else.
Yeah. And I'm glad you're that aware about it because, it's really this, and that is an excellent point you made, Kristen, because yeah, if you're the staff person, you already know that person's kind of backing away and maybe having some trouble fitting everything in. And so I think it's okay for the staff person to reach out and say, this doesn't, is everything okay? It doesn't seem like the right fit for you. Maybe we could find another thing that you can do. And I think that's almost like a relief for people because sometimes people don't, they say, well, I said I would do it. And then they feel bad if they can't. So, I say go ahead and have that conversation. Because some of the best jobs I had were the ones where I worked with volunteers. Like I did chapter relations and committee relations and special interest groups and worked with a lot of different people and I would see them sometimes in that situation. And after a while, I would just kind of say, maybe we need to find you a different thing to do, or maybe this is not the right fit for you, or something like that. Because if you the downside of that is that it starts to get in the way of the work. And it's not fair to the other people. Like if a committee chair starts to kind of back away, the other people on the committee are kind of like, well, what's going on? What are we doing? So it's really not fair to anyone because the committee chair is not getting a good experience, and neither are the people on the committee, and the work's probably not getting done. So I say have those conversations, bring it up. So, but before we wrap up, I don't want to wrap up without diving in a little deeper to the topic of passion for what we're doing. You had mentioned earlier, passion and the art of saying yes are really intertwined. So whether it's a passion for volunteering for that organization or a passion for the piano or a passion for sports, whatever it is. So how do you see, from your perspective, passion really feeding into saying yes to the different things that we want to try?
That is a very good question. I think one, and I think I alluded to it a little bit, is you don't always have to know. what the passion is right away. You know, I've seen so many people professionally, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what they're doing is so cool. Like they've done all of like XYZ in life. And then I've sat down and I've had conversations with them, and some of them have told me, I had no idea that I was going to go do that. I had no idea that I was going to, you know, be in charge of an association that's accounting, and now like I'm working with archaeologists or something. And they've told me that if you kind of have an idea of what direction that you're moving in life, you have a passion of wanting to help people. I know for me that's the number one thing. I knew ever since I was in high school that I wanted to help people. I thought it was going to be through being a doctor. And then I took some science and math classes in college, and I said, there are other ways to help people. I don't have to do it through healthcare, which is funny that now the association that I work with is in health professions. So it's like it kind of all came together somehow in the end. But I think in allowing yourself to, one, explore new things that you may not even think about wanting to do, allowing yourself to make mistakes and making sure that you learn from them. I mean, you can make mistakes, and if you don't learn and take something away from it, I don't think that's as helpful. And then just having that passion to want to keep growing, wanting to, you know, just make be a better person and inspire the people around you too. I'm a big believer of kind of putting out what you want into the world. I mean, there are so many times I've said, oh, you know, maybe I'd want to be on the board of this organization. And I'll tell the staff members that are there. If I see the executive director or CEO, I'll tell them. And, you know, one of them was like, yeah, you should think about that. You know, maybe in the next few years, that, you know, if you keep working at what you're doing and keep communicating with us, she's like, I could see you on the board, which to me, I still think is crazy. I mean, I've never been on the board of anything. And, you know, as someone who I would consider myself a young professional, I think so many of us want that. We want to be involved. We want to know what that next step is. But that's, I guess that's me putting things out there even before I say yes. I'm trying to, you know, kind of mold things around so then I can get to that point where someone asks me something and I'm like, yes, of course I would. So,
That, well, you know, that's really the principle of the law of attraction, which you're probably familiar with. That's what the whole book, The Secret, is about. So you put out there what you want. It's like making a vision board. You visualize what you want, and then eventually things will fall into place so that that thing happens. So I love that. It's very true. You know, the more positive I am, the better things go. When I end up in those places where I'm like, oh, I'm negative and things aren't going to work or whatever, they don't. So I think we all get frustrated like that, but I agree. Put it out there, talk to people, tell, if you don't ask, you don't get. That's another thing. People ask. The worst thing that'll happen, they'll say no. You know, so I say go for it. That's wonderful. So now, before we wrap up this episode, this has been so fun talking to you. I've really enjoyed it. Great conversation. I wanted to ask you, is there anything you're part of the ASAE AANHPI group? So is there anything about that group you would like to share with the audience?
Yes, there is, and I'm so glad you're asking. So we are so excited to be rolling out our Asian American Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander, or AANHPI, association community. So that's going to be a LinkedIn page that we're going to be rolling out in the next couple of days. We're really excited because it coincides perfectly with the AANHPI month in May. So if it's not up already, Definitely keep an eye out on LinkedIn. If you actually want to even go add me on LinkedIn, feel free to just shoot me a message saying that you heard me on the Rogue Tool Ups podcast, because I also don't accept just every LinkedIn request. I like to actually have some sort of connection. So if you just shoot me that note, because once the group is live, it's going to be everywhere, at least on my LinkedIn. And you'll be able to follow it there. But yes, definitely keep an eye out for that. We're so excited that we're going to be expanding the work that we're doing in the ANHPI community, featuring different members who are part of our community and the wonderful work we're doing, the podcasts that we're going to be on. So I'm excited that, Cecilia, you're having a month celebrating ANHPI. So if you like our LinkedIn page, you'll probably be seeing more of the Rogue Tulips podcast on there too.
That's wonderful. No, that's great. And I'm so glad to see this group moving forward. And it's in my opinion, and some people may not agree with me, but in my opinion, I don't think we do focus enough and celebrate enough people in AA and HPI groups. There's a lot of different people who contribute to our country, the United States, and obviously throughout the world. But our AANHPI month is for the United States because we want to recognize that. And so I am so excited. I was very pleased to be asked to participate through my podcast. So Joanna Pineda, Walter Kim, and Wendy Jo Toyama all sent me a note and said, "Hey, we're working on this to celebrate the month of AANHPI in May. Would you be interested?" And I was, of course, right on board. So I am so excited to hear that. I'm so glad for you. Is there anything else you'd like the audience to know about the ASAE group? I know you have the LinkedIn page opening up, LinkedIn group happening, but anything else going on? Like, are you doing anything at ASAE annual in August?
Yes. So I know that we will be having our community gathering on the Saturday. I don't really know exactly what day that is. But that's a really good opportunity for anybody who is part of the community or is just interested and want to learn more. I mean, anyone and everyone who's going to that, we're all open to connecting and networking, which I really like that, having that intention going into and just knowing I might sit next to somebody I don't know, but I can just start talking to them. So I would highly encourage anybody who's interested to come for that community meeting. And then I believe we're doing something else. I'm not 100% sure what it is yet. But if you keep an eye out on our LinkedIn page, I'm sure we'll be posting updates on everything that we're going to be doing at annual.
Oh, excellent. That's great. Yeah, there's so much that goes on at ASAE annual. It's hard to keep up with it all. So that's wonderful. And you, Kristen, you've been a great guest. And again, really have enjoyed talking with you on this topic, the art of saying yes. And you're very good at saying yes. So I love it. And thank you for saying yes to being on the podcast. So before we wrap up, I always like to ask my guests, what's the one thought you would like the audience to take away today? And then how can they get in touch with you if they'd like to learn more about the art of saying yes?
Sure. So I would say my one takeaway for today is really to not be scared. I mean, there's so many things that, for myself, I overthink a lot. And I think that kept me, not I think it kept me, it did. It did keep me from pursuing things professionally for myself through volunteering or even just getting to meet people. I mean, I'll share one quick story. I know we're wrapping up, but I was really going through a situation that I was unsure about, and I had been doing a lot of work with the AANHPI group that Don D and Wendy Jo Toyama are the co-chairs for. And so I reached out to them and I was like, "Can we hop on a Zoom?" And I was really scared, to be honest with them. And I did, and they really were able to bring supports around me. I mean, they were two of the most wonderful people that I've truly ever met. But it made me realize, people care a lot about each other, more than we may even realize. But it's unless you get over that fear of yourself, you get over the fear of what people might think about you, and you just take a chance. So I think that really has a lot with my art of saying yes. You just don't be scared and try. I mean, like you said, you can ask someone, the worst they're going to say is no. And then you just look to the next opportunity because there is a lot to do in this world. There really is.
Oh, and then you already mentioned your LinkedIn account.
Oh,
If
yes.
you connect, is there another way people can connect with you, or would you just like people to find you on LinkedIn?
I think LinkedIn is the best way because then we can message back and forth. So yes, I'd say my LinkedIn profile, Kristen Trong, and let's connect and let's figure out how we can work together in the art of saying yes.
Oh, that's great. Well, this has been a great way to kick off AANHPI month. And thank you again for joining me, Kristen. And I think saying, the art of yes is another great way to kick off this month. So let's say yes to those new opportunities going forward and to those networking opportunities that come our way. But unfortunately, we have to go rogue for now. But we'll be back next time with another exciting episode. So don't forget to follow us or subscribe on your favorite podcast service. If you'd like to learn more about Rogue Tulips Consulting and how we can help your organization bloom outside the box, check out our new website, roguetulips.com. We also have our education program has wrapped up for spring, but we're going to be relaunching it again in the fall. So if you're looking at the December CAE exam, check out our education page and see if we have something for you. We also are every month offering our ethics course. So if you're interested in ethics, check that out as well. So I want to thank Kristen again for joining me. And on behalf of Kristen and myself, we'll see you next time.